Purpose often requires faithfulness when nobody really understands what God is trying to do and what you're trying to do as you follow God. And so, have you ever felt like you were the only person trying to do the right thing? Have you ever felt like you're the only person in your office that doesn't participate in gossip, doesn't want all the tea, or the only student that doesn't want to cheat on a test, being the only family that is pursuing Christ when everyone else seems to be indifferent? Have you ever felt like you're the only one that chooses to express generosity when everyone else says, no, it's okay, just go get more for yourself. Go store up treasures for yourself. You see, Noah's story isn't primarily about him building a boat. Now, I know if you think about the story of Noah, it's Noah and his ark, right? You think about the ark and you think about the animals, but in reality, it's about the story of a man who remained faithful when it seemed like nobody else cared about God. What he was building was something that would last forever and it would shape future generations. You see, he was building a legacy in Christ day after day when no one else wanted to. You see, purpose is often revealed not in moments of praise or moments of applause, but it's built in seasons of unnoticed faithfulness, and Noah is a perfect example. You see, he spent decades faithfully following God before he saw any evidence of what God was trying to do. And I know sometimes we struggle day to day following God, but Noah spent decades following God without seeing any real evidence of what he was doing. But who is this person that we read about in the scriptures? Well, Noah is the son of Lamech, who is the ninth generation from Adam. So we've been walking through Genesis. And if you read Genesis chapter 5, you see the whole lineage from Adam. But he was a son, a husband, a father, a carpenter, a farmer. He was a preacher. But the Bible also tells us that he was a righteous man who walked closely with God. And he was the man that God chose to bring into the new world and to continue the human race. You see, he was also a man who lived for a total of 950 years. That's pretty old. Sometimes I start to feel old, but that's old. And he's not even the oldest guy in the Bible, but that's still pretty old. But there are some other things that we need to know about Noah and his entire generation before we can really understand what God was doing in his life. You see, one of the first things that we notice when we open up the Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 6 is that the population of the world exploded. I mean, so we go from, you know, just a few people to the population exploding just in a few chapters. There's estimates that estimate the population of the world either 702, so from 702 million all the way to 4 billion people by the time that Noah came along and built the ark and does the things that we're about to read about today. But along with that explosion of population came an increase in spiritual decay, depravity, and godlessness. You see, this godlessness led to apostasy, which is the complete abandonment of God. And what we read about when this abandonment of God happens, we see God's response to his creation rebelling against him and his image in them. And so what happens? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6, it says, now humankind began to multiply on the face of the ground. And verse 5 says, and then the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. Does it sound like the world that we live in today, that the thoughts of most are only evil all the time? And then you think things have gotten bad, and you hear a news story or read something, and you see, well, it can get worse. Things can happen that are even worse than what we thought. And so verse 6 says, and so the Lord regretted that he made humankind on the earth, and his heart was deeply pained. And so Adam said, I will wipe out humankind, whom the Lord said, I will wipe out humankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, from humankind to livestock, to crawling things, flying creatures in the sky, because I regret that I made them. He's going to start over. Wipe everybody out, animals, birds, the whole thing. And so what happens in this story that we don't read, and if you want to learn more, there's lots of research that you can do. I'd be happy to walk through a little bit more on Wednesday night if you would like to join us. But basically, the created beings that were to watch over God's creation became involved in God's creation. The offspring between these beings and humanity defiled all of God's creation. And the wickedness and apostasy became so great throughout either the 702 million all the way to 4 billion people, throughout every person in the generation except for Noah and his family, became so great that God said, all right, 120 years, that's it. Like, this is all the time that they have left. That's the time that my spirit will be with them. And then he would destroy the earth and its creatures because everything was evil. But this 120 years served as just enough time to bring about the ark and God's final appeal to humanity through the person of Noah. But why did he choose Noah? The Bible says in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among his generation. Noah continually walked with God, and he fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now the earth was ruined before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was ruined, because all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is coming before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to bring ruin upon them along with the land. So make for yourself an ark. And verse 22 says, and so Noah did according to all that God commanded. He did so exactly. And so not only was Noah righteous, but he followed the commands that God gave, and he did exactly what God told him to do. But Noah was righteous. And so if you want to know what a righteous man looks like, then all you have to do is read Psalms 112. If you want to know what it means to be righteous, go ahead and read that chapter, Psalms 112. If you want to know what it means to be a godly man, what a godly father looks like, what we should be modeling ourselves as, both as fathers here on this earth and spiritual fathers as well, look in Psalms 112. It's what a righteous man looks like, and that's what Noah patterned his life after. And so the first thing that we see today, what we notice about Noah, is that Noah obeyed God before he saw any results. Amen. You have to understand that what God was asking Noah to do had never been done. He didn't even know what a boat was, and yet he had to build one of the biggest things that humanity had ever seen up to this point. And so purpose often requires faithfulness when nobody else understands. More often than not, walking in God's purpose causes us to be faithful even when we don't understand. I mean, forget everybody else. Most of the time when we're doing what God has called us to do, we don't even really understand what God is doing. And so sometimes it looks crazy. Definitely looks crazy to the outside world. Sometimes when we're following what God calls us to do, it looks crazy to us. But if we can use Noah as an example, he did exactly what God asked him to do. And so Noah obeyed before he saw what God was doing. There were no boats. There had never been any rain. The skies had never opened up and water had never come down from above. Everything that Noah was doing was brand new, yet he did exactly what God told him to do and had no clue what was going to happen next. But he kept following God day by day, instruction by instruction. And the Bible says that then the Lord said to Noah, come, you and all your household into the ark, for you only do I perceive as righteous before me in this generation. For in 7 days I'm going to make it rain upon the land, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe out all existence that I made from the face of the ground. And so Noah did all just as the Lord commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, water upon the land. And so Noah, his sons, his wives, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the flood waters. And after the 7 days, the flood waters were upon the land. The second thing that we notice about Noah in this story is that purpose is not measured by popularity. Out of the 700 to 2 million to 4 billion people, it was Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. 8 people. It was the only 8 people that we know that were following after God. And Noah was the one that was counted as righteous among them. And so God gives 7 days. It's basically like, hey, like, this is it. This 7 days is all you have left to prepare yourselves. It was the only time that God had given humanity to realize the error of their ways, but they continually rejected Noah and God's word through Noah. Therefore, they continually rejected God. I think that many times in our walk with Christ, it's a good thing that that purpose is not measured by popularity. You see, the entire world, everybody in the world turned against Noah, but he walked with God's purpose anyway. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers and thrown into a well. David was an afterthought in the eyes of his own father. He wasn't even considered good enough to join the rest of his brothers when the priest came looking for the next king in his family. Rahab was a prostitute and an outcast, but she found herself in the lineage of Christ. Matthew was a tax collector that was hated by every one of his people, yet he was a disciple of Christ. And Jesus himself was despised and is despised and rejected by men, but yet they all walked in the purpose that God had established for them, regardless of popularity. Basically, regardless of what the world said, they did what God had called them and created them to do. But Noah and his family followed God. And then it happened. What no one could imagine, what no one understood, happened. The Bible tells us in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on this day, all the water sources of the great deep burst open, and the windows of the sky were opened, and then there was rain upon the land for 40 days and 40 nights. Water covered the face of the earth for 150 days, up to 22 feet above the highest point, so that humanity and all the living creatures that walked or flew in the sky outside of Noah and his family and the animals on the ark ceased to exist. Again, there's a lot of science, there's a lot of understanding in what actually happened, and be glad to talk a little bit more about it with you on Wednesday night. But basically what happens, the water overpowered the land for 150 days. They're in this boat on the water for 150 days. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And then God remembered Noah and all the wild animals, all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And so God caused the wind to pass over the land, and the water subsided. Also, the sources of the deep and the windows of the skies were closed up, and the rain from the sky was held back. The waters kept receding gradually from upon the land, and the waters decreased by the end of 150 days. And the ark came to rest in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." 370 days after God shut Noah and his family in the ark, he spoke to them and told them to come out of the ark, and commanded Noah and his family and all the animals with him to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. The first thing that Noah did when he got off the ark was to build an altar to the Lord, and he made an offering of every clean animal that was with him. You see, Noah made this offering to God, for God. He made this offering as an outflow of the expression of his heart, out of his love for God, out of his gratitude for the salvation that had been brought to himself and his family in the face of complete and utter destruction. Everything that they had known, everything that existed, was now gone, and they entered into a brand new world. And so Noah made this offering, this sacrifice to God because of what had happened. And so the last thing that we see in this story today is that God uses faithful people to preserve hope. You see, the Bible tells us that when the Lord smelled this offering, it says in chapter 8, verse 21, the Lord said in his heart, because of this offering that Noah made, he said, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man. Even though the inclination of the heart of humankind is evil from youth, nor will I ever again smite all living creatures as I have done. And while all the days of the land remain, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease." Just a side note, you can say what you want about global warming and climate change, but the Bible promises us that as long as the land is here, there will be day and night and there will be seasons. Now, do we need to do a good job of taking care, being good stewards of what God has given us? Yes. But you can put all that climate change and all that stuff to the side, because the Bible promises us that there will always be day and night, and there will be seasons to go along with it, because it's what God said would happen. In chapter 9, verse 1, it says this: "God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. I have now given you everything. Only flesh with its life, that is the blood, you must not eat. Surely your lifeblood will I avenge from every animal, from every person will I avenge it. From every person's brother will I avenge that person's life. The one who sheds human blood, by a human will his blood be shed. For in God's image he made humanity. But as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Flourish in the land and multiply in it." Human life, beginning at conception and carrying to the very last breath, is all important to God, because each life is created in the image of God. All human life, no matter what age, is precious to God. The Bible tells us that each and every single one of us, each and every single one of you, are precious to God because you are created in God's image. And we are created in God's image to do what? Flourish in the land. That was God's command to Noah, followed by God's covenant with Noah. And so then, chapter 9, verse 8, "Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, saying, 'Now behold, I'm about to establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. I will confirm my covenant with you. Never again will all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again will there be a flood to ruin the land.' Then God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I'm making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations.'" And so this covenant applies to us as well, all the future generations that came after Noah. "My rainbow do I place in the cloud, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the land. Whenever I bring clouds over the land and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of the flesh. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all the flesh. When the rainbow is in the cloud, I will look at it to remember the perpetual covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the land.' Then God said to Noah, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I have confirmed between me and all the flesh in the land.'" You see, the rainbows that we see in the sky, in the clouds, they are a constant reminder that God has made a covenant with Noah thousands of years ago, but by extension, he makes that covenant with us to never destroy humanity or the flood, or the earth, like he did in the flood. You see, the word for rainbow actually means bow. The original word speaks of a hunting bow or a war bow. And so when we see the rainbow in the clouds, then God remembers like he promised he would. So we can be reminded of God's faithfulness, that he will not destroy the earth like he did again. When we see that bow hanging in the sky, we can be reminded of God's faithfulness, because the Bible tells us that he is for us, that he is not against us, that he is not at war with us, but that he has done the unthinkable in order to redeem us. Noah and his family repopulated the earth, and we can trace the lineage of Jesus back to Noah, and it's in Christ alone that we place our hope. And so when we see the rainbow in the sky, we can be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. It doesn't matter what the world tries to turn the rainbow into. We know that the rainbow is a promise of God's faithfulness that has lasted throughout generations. You see, God uses faithful people like Noah to preserve hope, not only to preserve hope for himself, but hope for future generations. And God uses faithful people like you and I to carry hope into this hopeless world. So what do we do with Noah's story today? How do we apply it to our lives? Do we walk out of here thinking that the Noah story is the children's story that we read or hear about in Sunday school or children's church, that it's just about a guy building a boat and all the animals coming into the boat and the waters rising? No. Do we walk away thinking that this is just about Noah and ark and animals? No. Noah's story is about purpose. Noah lived in a generation that had abandoned God. He lived in a culture that mocked righteousness, and he lived among people who could not understand and would not understand what God was trying to do. Yet Noah remained faithful. For decades, he kept building. He kept obeying day after day. For decades, he kept trusting in God's word, not because he understood everything, but because he trusted the one who gave him his purpose. Noah had no idea what was going to come on the other side of the ark, yet he trusted God, because God is the one that gave him his purpose. You see, the truth is that most of us want our purpose to look grand, to look spectacular. We like applause. We like platforms. We crave recognition in one way or another. But God often reveals purpose through simple acts of faithfulness. So what does purpose look like in the real world? Purpose is showing up when nobody else notices, doing the things that you're supposed to do day after day. Purpose is leading your family even when it's difficult. Purpose is praying when you don't see or even like the answers that may be provided. Purpose is obeying even when you don't understand. Purpose is trusting God when everyone else walks away. You see, Noah never knew that thousands of years later, we would be talking about his life simply because he did what God called him to do. And because of his faithfulness, because of his actions, because of the fact that he walked in purpose, then hope was preserved for thousands of generations. You see, that's what God is still doing today. He's looking for men and women, kids, teenagers. He's looking for people that will walk with him. He's looking for fathers who will stand for righteousness in their homes and in their communities. He's looking for students who will stand for truth in their schools, regardless of what everyone else says. He's looking for believers who will remain faithful in a culture that is increasingly walking away from God. As the band comes and we're beginning to close, your faithfulness today may become someone else's hope for tomorrow. the prayers that you pray today, the children that you raise, the people that you disciple, the seeds of hope that you plant in people's lives today may impact generations that you will never meet. None of us are really building an ark. We're not building a boat today, but God has given each and every single one of us something to build. We're building marriages. We're building families. We're building ministries. Each and every single one of us are building a ministry unto the Lord. Each and every single one of us are building testimonies for Christ. We're building a legacy in Christ. And just like Noah, we're called to build faithfully. But the reality is Noah's story, just like our story, points to something even greater. Noah entered the ark and was saved from God's judgment on humanity. We enter into relationship with Christ and are saved from sin and death. The ark carried Noah through the storm, but Jesus carries us from death into eternal life. When the flood stopped and the waters receded, when Noah came to rest on the top of Mount Ararat and God opened the doors, Noah stepped into a new beginning, because that's what God does. He brings life out of judgment, hope out of despair. God brings purpose out of obedience. So today, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, then His invitation is always open. His call is always there. The same God who preserved Noah has provided salvation for each and every single one of us through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reality is that we can read about these people in Scripture all we want, but we have to know that the same God who called Noah thousands of years ago is the same God that is calling each and every single one of us here today. The same God that placed the rainbow in the sky as a sign of His covenant has given us an even greater sign, which is the cross of Christ. So don't miss the point today. Let me make it plain for you. God's purpose is not reserved for the famous, the talented, or the popular. God's purpose belongs to each and every single one of us who will faithfully walk with Him. Our goal shouldn't be to be popular, shouldn't be to have fame and have a court and have all of these things that the world says that we need to have. Our goal should be this, that it is said of us, he or she walked with God. And if that becomes true of our lives, if we will discover purpose that is not found in what we accomplish for God, but in the fact that we are faithfully walking with God each and every single day of our lives, then we will truly find the purpose that God intends for us. The most important thing I believe that God desires for us is to walk with Him each and every single day, to be in covenant relationship with Him. If you will, please stand with me. The world that we live in is constantly walking farther and farther away, rebelling more and more against God. But we have an opportunity here today to dedicate each day that we live, each step that we take to God, to walk in His purpose each and every single day. But it begins with being in covenant relationship with Him. All of those things that God applied to Noah, all the covenants that we read within the book, all the promises that we have here can apply to you, but they only apply to you if you are in Christ. So as the prayer team comes, if you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God is calling. God is providing an opportunity for you right now to enter into relationship with Him. At the same time, if you need purpose, if you don't feel like you are walking and living in God's purpose for you, we want to pray with you and for you today, because I firmly believe that each and every single one of you are here on purpose, for a purpose, and God can show you that purpose today.